Okay, so Pastor Cole just told me that the Zambia team is coming back today, which is awesome. They were on a mission. And I believe they're going to have amazing testimonies, because when you go out there, God's hand is just with you all the way. I think I'm going to fall over this. Okay, I think we're good now. And the men's camp, we have about 180 registered men. So that is really exciting. We're trusting God for 200, and we have still 2 weeks. And I know there's a lot of people that we can still invite, especially in our workplace. I think we should actually send out an email, so that we can start sending emails out to people that we know that we don't regularly see, but also we would like to be at that men's camp. I had an amazing, amazing experience from last week through the previous week through to last week of this week as well. And I'm going to share on that. And my sermon's title is Live by Faith. And I don't want to preach about something today that you are saying like, okay, I'm going to trust for something in faith. I want the Holy Spirit to impart to us this morning, we're going to live by faith. This is every day. This is not just, oh, I need a big house and I need to trust for it now, and God, I'm going to have faith for this until you open up the door. And no, we're going to talk about living by faith. We're going to talk about having our faith. And I'm first going to visit some doctrine. And then I'm going to share a story. And I know Carl said I shouldn't keep it too long, but I think we might keep it too long. Because when we talk about God, we get excited and we just want His presence and we just want the revelation. So, if we can have the first slide, faith. We're going to first recite something, just so that it embeds in our spirit. Okay, faith. Believing in, I want you to say it with me, believing in, relying on, trust in, and adhering to God. Okay, we're going to do it again. Faith. Believing in, relying on, trust in, and adhere to God. That is just simply how the Amplified Bible puts faith. I think many times we think faith is this magic word that if you don't have enough faith, healing won't come. Or if you don't have enough faith, God won't bless. But it's actually a lifestyle that we need to live. And we're going to look at two characters in the Bible. One is one of my favorite characters, and we're going to read about their story. But first, I want to shed light on a point, especially in our charismatic churches. We think because we are saved, and because we've come to Jesus Christ, that we're living a lifestyle of faith. But many of the times, we're more religious than the religious churches that we so say are religious and don't preach salvation. We also just come to church. We also just lift our hands. We also just sing the nice songs and preach the nice sermons. But what happens when we go out here? Do we still live that life of faith? Do we still trust in, rely on, adhere to, believe in what God says tomorrow, the day after that? And do we listen to our spirit, or do we fall back to our flesh? And we're going to also look at where Paul writes to the Galatians and the comparison between the two characters that we're going to visit, and then what he writes to the Galatians. And I also want to say another thing. Most of the good things that we do are not necessarily God things. And then we think we're living a life of faith. And I'm going to share on my own life where I got this wrong. I think it's now about 2.5 years after I gave my heart to the Lord. And I only realized this now. Like, I didn't get a grip on it. The Holy Spirit imparted to me. Let me not take any glory for that. I'm going to tell you that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what Scripture tells us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we can see there, Enoch, that's one of my favorite people. I even put it in brackets just to make sure you guys know. Okay, so we're going to first visit the Old Testament, and then we're going to go visit the New Testament just to see what Paul writes and the story of these men that walk by faith. Okay, so if we can go to Genesis 5, verse 22 to 25. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. I want you to see those words. Walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God again. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. How awesome is that? Listen to the Amplified version. And Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God. And he was not, for God took him home with him. How amazing is that? At that time, there was a firmament that covered the earth, and there was a high oxygen-rich area where people lived. So they grew till, I think Methuselah was one that became 900 years. And they lived very long. But here we see Enoch only lived about 300 years, and then God took him because he walked with God. Which is awesome. Okay, so we go to Genesis 6, verse 6 to 9. So remember Enoch. We're going to put him there first, there on the stand. I just love him because he walked with God, and God just decided, you know what? I'm going to take him to me. I can't wait till he dies because I want him with me. Genesis 6, verse 6 to 9. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. There we see again. Noah walked with God. The Amplified version says, Noah was just and righteous. And righteous man, blameless in his evil generation, Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. And I can just see, like, how they walk with God, how they hand in hand walk with God. Even where Adam and Eve say they heard God in the coolness of the day. And just how amazing that is, and that reconciliation and that walking with him. And I believe we have the Holy Spirit now to walk exactly the same path with him. And we can walk with him in that same way. So Paul tells us a bit more. Nothing more is actually spoken about Enoch. A bit more is spoken about Noah, or written about Noah. But then Paul writes a bit more in Hebrews about their faith. So Hebrews 11 verse 5 to 7, New King James Version. By faith Enoch was taken away. Listen to this. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death. And was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do we diligently seek to know God? I'm not talking about understanding and having a grip on his vastness, because that we'll never have. But do we diligently seek him? Hebrews 11, verse 5 to 6. I think that's wrong. Okay, verse 7. Let's just go on there. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I want you to look at those words, things not yet seen. In Scripture, before the rain came in Noah's time, there was never rain on the earth. Scripture says they were watered from underneath the earth. Mist would come up. I'm actually quickly going to read you that scripture. Okay, this is in Genesis 2. It won't be up there. Verse 5. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So there was never rain before that day. So when Scripture says, by faith Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen, the concept of rain was foreign to him. He didn't even know what that was, but he knew that God told him it's going to rain, and he needed to be faithful in what God had told him. That's just something amazing. And we can see both of these men walked by faith. Walked with God, but here Paul says it's because of their faith. That walking, that continual walking in faith. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, for we walk by faith not by sight. And then we start to understand what happened in Genesis with Enoch and with Noah when Scripture says they walked with God, because they walked in faith. And the Jewish people had a problem with Jesus as well when he came back, because they now received this law from Moses, but they neglected this part of Scripture, that faith actually started before the law that was given to them. And they wanted to do things in their flesh, and they wanted to adhere to the rules and the laws by their own strength. And they were not able to do this because there was something missing, a God element, the Holy Spirit, that empowering ability to overcome. And that faith. We're going to see how faith gives us access to grace and how the grace that God gives us empowers us to overcome this world. I just wrote here, at the middle of Hebrews 11, verse 13 to 16, it won't be up there. The Scripture says these men died in faith, never receiving the promises that God taught, that God gave them, which means they lived such a lifestyle of faith that they were expecting for this promise every day, adhering, trusting, and relying on God every day, but when they died, they haven't even received that promise yet. So even in their death, they still died in faith, and this gave them a massive testimony. And it was written up in the most important and awesome book in history, and we can read about them. And now I'm quickly going to show the other part where Paul writes to the Galatians. In Galatians 3, verse 2 to 5. And now I'm quickly going through Scripture because I actually want the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Galatians 3, verse 2 to 5. This only I want to learn from you. This is now Paul speaking to the Galatians. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And then the Amplified Version says, say it beautifully. Are you so foolish and so senseless and so silly, having begun your new life spiritually with the Holy Spirit? Are you now receiving perfection by the dependence on the flesh? I'm going to take it close to home. I'm going to make it a lot more practical. But before I do that, there's this contradiction between our flesh and our spirit. And the Galatians started off their life after coming to repentance in the Spirit. They lived in the Spirit. And then somewhere along the line, they decided they're going to rely on their flesh. And they're going to start doing it in the flesh. And this is what inspires Paul to write about this. And it actually speaks about this one thing that we believe we are all free of when we're in a charismatic church, and that's religion. We often do a lot of things. We do a lot of works. And we think it's very good things. But it's not necessarily God things. And when we start moving away from Holy Spirit-led things that we start to do, that is birth in the Spirit, and we move towards the flesh, then you become tired. Then some stuff becomes a burden to you. And then we fall into this trap of, oh, we're just going to go to church. We're going to go through the motions. We're not going to live habitually in fellowship with God. I just love those two words. So we can see this is a massive clash between flesh and spirit. And I know that the devil won't bother with someone that's drunk on the street there because he knows he has him. He's not going to bother with him. He's not going to go out of his way in order to get this person even more unsaved than he already is. No, he doesn't care about that. Neither does he care about a church that is religious, because he knows they're not serving a living God. And he's going to allow that church to go on and on and on and on, just to live religiously, following the motions, through the motions. When we say we want to become a church that is a hospital, do we see the sick being healed? If we say that the church is a place where the homeless and the broken can come into, does it provide that safe area, that place where they can come in and be like, I don't feel alone and afraid and scared and broken inside anymore. This is my family. I know they'll take care of me. Or even when people get abducted, do we pray for words of knowledge so that we know where they are hidden, so that we can be even the police station? I believe our mandate is far greater than we believe. And I believe that when we start walking in faith, we're going to get this right. And we're going to start living this lifestyle of these small Christians, small Jesuses that goes out and just brings the broken in, heals the sick. Be that policeman. Just a quick story on the side. About a month ago, they broke into our house. I think it's about a month ago, Porti? Yeah, about a month ago, they broke into our house and they stole my laptop and they stole the camera of him and phone of Thais, our new flatmate. And the Holy Spirit tells me that they're going to come back again. And I'm like, they're not going to come back again. This is fear. I don't like this. I don't want this. And 2 weeks after that, they came back again. And it wasn't just one person. This time it was 3 people. But I had a dream so vivid that it woke me up. And I lifted up my head and I looked into the eyes of the man outside of my window. They were standing on the wall trying to get over the fence. And now we're free. Now we're freezed. Now I'm like, what do I do now? What do I do now? What do I do now? Do I like go to bed, keep him in my eye, and then just quickly slip out and wake up everyone? Or what do I do now? Because this guy's also freezed and everyone freezes. And those 3 men, they're standing there and I'm like, oh God, what am I doing now? It was about 5 minutes, or it felt like an hour, but it was just like 5 minutes. And I did this thing and I put my head down and I slid out of the bed and I woke up everyone and then they were gone. And the Holy Spirit just started to convict me in Johnny, what if you just commanded them to be bound in the name of Jesus? To live in that faith and that trust and that reliance that God would bind them. And I can be that policeman. And I was just like, oh God, maybe next time, but not now. Not now. And I think that's many of the times that we do. We step away from the revelation that God wants to give us because we think we're not ready. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit and God to move in those areas, especially where we think we're not ready. I remember before I got, I almost said engaged, went into a relationship with Yakumin. I went to see Sias and I said, like, this is what God's telling me. And now she's my wife. I believe she's my wife. And he's like, okay, tell me more. And I tell him more. And I tell him, but I don't think I'm ready. And he says, I believe everything that you're telling me, except there's a little bit of deception. You think you're not ready. And we have this thing. We think we're not ready. But the Holy Spirit empowers us to be ready. Just quickly on the side, I want us to read Romans 1, verse 16 to 17. This is one of those awesome scriptures that you just get excited about. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. I just put that in because I like that one. But the next one is actually the important one. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. If you get stuck in a situation where God wants to teach you to rely on Him, to trust Him, to obey Him, to believe in Him and what He says, He's not going to remove you from that situation until you learn, because that's relationship. Yakumin told me yesterday that, that's my beautiful fiance. She told me yesterday, Johnny, the first month that we were in a relationship, she waited for me to leave her. She didn't trust me in that sense in the beginning. And I had to win her trust, and I had to pursue in a godly manner her heart, and I needed to win that trust for her to start sharing with me. And that's the same. That's similar with God and us. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to share and to give over those things that we cleave onto because we think and we know better and we rely on our flesh. We can do this. And then you mess it up and then you're like, oh God, please do this. And then you fix it. Instead of from the beginning, just living by faith, living that lifestyle from the beginning. So he can only take you from one faith to the next faith, but that's just a trusting in him. And he has done this now the last 2 weeks. And I'm going to get to this because this is like ridiculous, amazing. I can't believe he's told me this part of his character. I'm just so in awe, especially after my last sermon that I preached, that I felt like my heart is getting numb towards the cross. And how faithfully God is when he reawakens that love for him. I'm like, God, I'm not weeping before you anymore. I'm not baptized in your love and brokenness for other people. And then he just faithfully comes and he knows my flesh is weak and he knows there's some pride issues in my life and he needs to sort it out in order for me to get to know him better and to trust him more. I'm going to say it again. Faith, believing in, relying on, trusting in, and adhering to God. Even though you have no clue what is going to happen or what the outcome is going to be. Because that is faith. And even if all odds are against you in the natural and shouting against you, saying you're not going to make it, what God is saying is wrong. But there's one problem with this faith thing. We need to give up what we are holding in our hands. I'm just quickly going to share a principle, a spiritual principle. When you keep something in your hand, natural laws apply. When you give it to God and into his hands, supernatural laws apply. So what happens when you give it over to him? It doesn't matter how bad you are doing, he comes supernaturally through for you. 2 weeks ago, we were put on a client. And the previous year, we had 4 weeks to finish our work. And 2 weeks to finish the work. This year, we had 1 week. And I had a trainee. So I had to train the trainee as well. And the Holy Spirit tells me, you're only going to work 8 hours a day. And I'm like, excuse me? Quiet. God, are you sure I'm only going to work 8 hours a day? It is impossible. I know the fact. We even worked overtime the previous year to make the deadline of the client this year. And I'm like, this is impossible. This is impossible. But okay, we're doing this faith thing. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to work only 8 hours a day and even take lunch. I didn't take lunch the first 2 days because I was just in too much fear of not going to make the deadline. But then I just gave it over. Then I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. Then I would organize stuff in my lunch and I'll make sure that I go to Yakumin right after work and then spend time with God. Just so that I'm not able to do more work than those 8 hours. And God intervenes somehow, some miraculous way. They have a system change over. And there's a list of stuff that they still owe us. But our work is up to date and finished by the end of that week. And I'm just like, this is not possible. And I just saw how God supernaturally made me more productive, gave me insight into specific areas where I'm like, oh, I didn't see this, I didn't see this, I didn't see this. Okay, let's correct this, let's correct this. And it was just going like this. And the trainee had so little questions. And I just believe it was a supernatural revelation for her as well, just to sit and work. We don't waste time. Oh, yeah, and then she asks me to go to the doctor. I'm like, no. Inside, no, you can't go to the doctor. We don't even have time to finish this. But then I'm just like, you know what, no. I'm going to be human and I'm going to go let her go to the doctor. And she's there for 3 hours. Comes back, but we still finished. And she still finished her work and I still finished my work. And it was awesome. And I've just started, and this is how it started. How God just started to make me see I can trust him even for the things in my work because I excluded him from my work. Last year, I worked through the night constantly. You can ask Yakumin. If she came to visit me, I would spend an hour with her and I would work through the night in order to meet my deadline. And I was not trusting God. I know in that season, he didn't speak to me about it. But I was like, God, can't I have the revelation then? Can't I have it then? And he started with something as small as this. I'm going to go on with this story, but I first want to get a bit of my bearings. Oh yeah, I wanted to say this. This does not mean he doesn't put you through trials. Because when you decide to give up whatever you're holding on to, where your laws apply, where your natural laws apply, where your flesh applies, and you give it into his hands, you're actually telling him, Lord, I believe that the decision you will make with whatever is in your hand now, my life, the will you have for me, my work, my studies, that you will make the right decision. And then we have this picture. Oh, he's going to give me 50 weeks to study, and he's going to give me this. And then he doesn't. And then he doesn't. Then he gives you 2 weeks. And you know, like, you need 50 weeks for this to finish. But that's what he wants to do. Even though during that tough time, even though during that trial, he wants to show you he is faithful and you can trust him in these things. And it doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter where your trial is or what you're holding on and cleaving to. It's when you start living this lifestyle of faith that that we start seeing God is faithful in all aspects of our life. We have this bad thing. I don't know if it's in the black cultures. You have to help me. But we have this Afrikaner thing that we need to work more than the required amount of time that we have been set out by God, because we need to make sure we've done our part, then God will bless us. Isn't what he did on the cross exactly the opposite? Where he said, you can do nothing to attain the salvation. There is no works that you can do to attain the salvation. Yes, you need to decide to accept me into your life, surrender to me, give it over to me. But there's nothing you can do, physically you can do. That's exactly the same in your work area. Exactly the same in your studies. Exactly the same in raising your family. You can't do anything to attain that love or that relationship, that ability to walk in faith in whatever area it is. Without faith, Enoch and Noah could not access God's grace. Without his grace, we can do nothing. It's God's grace, which is God's power in us, that empowers us to overcome. Not us ourselves, we cannot. And I quickly want to read two scriptures, and then I'm going to explain the concept, and then I'll tell my story. Romans 5, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, by what? By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, that's through Jesus, through whom also we have access, by what? By faith, into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So, by faith we have access into the grace in which we already stand when we have come to Christ. We already stand in the grace, but by faith we have access to this. And then we see in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So if we by faith have access into the grace in which we already stand, and grace is the thing that empowers us, then we need to start living in that lifestyle. But I'm going to show you that this faith thing, you can't attain it with works. It's a heart's change. But we're going to get to that. And therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that's beautiful, because it's that place where we trust and rely on, believe in, adhere to God, because we know that we can't do it. You can have a brilliant mathematical mind. You will struggle with that formula or that thing you're struggling with until you trust God, until he gives you that revelation, because he will keep it from you because he is in relationship with you. He wants you to see that he is the one that wants to come through for you. This is just like this awesome relationship, friendship. Though he's holy and he is our king, he's also that friend where we can trust him for that, even in the most impossible situations. I call Hebrews 11 the wall of faith, like the wall of fame. Because it's just these legends of faith that that Paul lists here. And they are such an inspiration. I'm just quickly going to go there because something I didn't put on the slides. Whoops. What faith does. Like he lists all of them, and then there's this amazing thing that happens. By faith, we understand. I'm just going to lift it out. Please go read Hebrews 11, and don't just follow my words, but see it in context. By faith, we understand. By faith, Abel offered to God. By faith, Enoch, he pleased God. We saw that. By faith, Noah was moved with godly fear. By faith, Abram obeyed. By faith, he also dwelt in the land of his promises. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength. By faith, Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, which was God's promise, by the way. And then it goes on, and it also says, by faith, Moses was not afraid. By faith, he chose rather to suffer affliction than to be in the palace and receive all those rewards. And we can see it's this faith thing that gives the strength, that gives the empowerment. And we can't do it in ourselves, no. Now my story comes, it's awesome. I can't wait for my story. Okay, so it started about 2 weeks ago. And this faith thing is in my heart. And Adrian, which is one of our small group leaders, he asked me to come just share about evangelism in the small group. And we were just a few. And I just felt the Holy Spirit convict us to just pray, Lord, use us. God, bring people across our way, use us. Simple prayer. And a very powerful prayer, because something changed in our hearts. We said, okay, God, we can't do this. We've been trying for so many times to get an open door for the youth and sub-school, but we always tried it in our own flesh. Me and Paul can testify. We really tried a lot in our own flesh. And we just gave, in that sense, we also gave over everything, and we're just like, we're not going to try and do works, but God, we have a desire. I want you to listen to this. We have a desire to work for you. We have a desire to want to be used by you. And that's what we prayed. And we went out, and we had some challenging stuff that we shared, and then God started to do amazing stuff. I just have to get this in order, otherwise I'm gonna miss it. Okay. So that Saturday, we walked with a cross. What we do is on Saturdays, it's about 2 weeks ago, I first have to repent about something. Church, I have this independent spirit that I want to go and run for God alone. And I want to repent towards you for that. I want to include you. Men, I want you to sign up your names more than the woman, because there are more women currently at the outreaches than there are men. And that is shocking. But anyways, I want you to come do this with me, because I can't do it alone. I've seen it. I've felt so many times how I'm doing this thing alone. And then God would send Skola. And he's like, Johnny, why didn't you invite us? And I'm like, you didn't put up your name. And I'm like, oh, I know I should have invited you. So I'm going to repent towards that, towards you. And I would like you to come and do this with me. I want you to come and do Ignite, a passion for his people, with me. I'm not going to force you. It needs to be a Holy Spirit burst thing. It needs to be a faith-led thing. Okay, that was a bit off topic, but it's okay. At that Saturday, God does amazing things when we walk with the cross. People come to salvation, true salvation, where you can see them break and weep. We share the gospel. We pray for the sick. They get healed. This one lady, she's like, no, but the pain is over there. And we pray for her, and she's like, no, the pain is over there. And then Marius is like, there is no pain. And he takes that hand and he goes like this. And she's like, there is no pain. And she's so amazed with what just happened. She's just like, what? What just happened? But like 2 weeks ago, that Saturday, I met an awesome person. It's the first white person that I've seen in Namibia that has nothing and that is begging. And it really gripped my heart. But I didn't notice him at first. We just walked past. And one of the ladies that were with us, Marius's wife, she said that she saw paramedics attending to a person that is sick. And we go back and I'm just like, we're going to heal that guy. We're going to heal that guy. And he doesn't have to go to the hospital. And we go back and there's nothing and there's no one. At this exact spot where she says she saw him, this guy sits. Carl is his name. And I'm like, no, Lord, you didn't show her in the spirit someone who's dying just for us to just wake up. We had to turn around and we had to come back. And I sat next to Carl and I spoke to him. I asked him, tell me your story. And he's just like, he sits and begs. I'm like, no, 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 you don't understand. Tell me your story. And I'm like, okay, I'll tell my story. And I just tell how faithful God has been in my life and where I was and how broken I was and how destroyed I was. And he starts sharing his story. And he starts to weep and he starts to break. And we lead him to the Lord and it's just awesome. Now, I have this massive challenge. I'm like, okay, the gospel tells me I need to take this guy in. I need to give him a shower. I need to give him clothes. I need to give him a job. I want him to get out of that situation because I want to live the gospel. Now, this is how God starts on Saturday. We prayed on Wednesday. He just starts this. And I wrestle with God on Monday. I'm like, this is the gospel, Lord. But why do I feel in my spirit I'm not allowed to do it? And then I speak to my friends, and now I'm getting frustrated because everyone's telling me, no, you can't do it. And I'm like, why can't I do it? This is what the gospel is telling me. But I also know in my spirit that I'm not supposed to do this. And I don't understand this. And I have no clue why God is telling me this. On Tuesday, one of my colleagues came to me, which I invited to church. And she said, Johnny, you know, on that struggle of homosexuality that you shared on, I've got a friend that is saved and has fallen back and really wants to speak to you. And I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't do anything to be able to speak to this person. God just brought in. From a prayer, we said, Lord, I desire for you to use me. And this guy comes and I'm like, yes, let's schedule a coffee. Let's do this. But still, on Tuesday, I have this battle with God, of this Carl guy. I'm just like, I want to live the gospel. I don't just want to say nice words. And then on Wednesday, this was ridiculous. On Wednesday, I gave it over. I'm just like, God, it's okay. I know Jesus had to live for 30 years seeing the dead, seeing people sick, seeing the unsaved and the lost, and he didn't move because God didn't tell him to move. I'm like, Lord, okay, if you want me to do this, you show me. I'll meet him. Now I'm being demandful, but I'm just like, God, I don't know. I don't know why. But remember this, I gave him over to God. I just said, I don't want to. And that same Wednesday, when I've given over everything, I stopped finding, because this is my character, I want to find places to minister. I want to find people whom I can lead to God. And I just want to go and do this. And many times I get frustrated with myself because I don't get it. And then I feel kind of like I'm not doing the gospel. And this week, I gave over everything. I just decided I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to have a desire to be used by God. I'm not going to search for every opportunity. But when it comes, I'm going to be ready. And that Wednesday, God just did this with my spirit. He just twitched my spirit like this, and I'm just like, okay, what now? Like, God. And he says, go buy yourself chicken strips at Pick n Pay. And I think by myself, this is my own thought, but I know there's a difference between, I just want to clarify this because I struggled with this a lot. God's voice, it's an inner voice. It's not your head. And it's also not that voice from the back of your side condemning you or putting shame upon you. It's this inner voice, small, soft inner voice. And I know it's Jesus. Now it's the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. It's one of those things. I have another deadline because we had the holiday days. And another deadline, but I'm trusting God. Go in my lunchtime. I'm going to pick and pay. Every robot is red. Every robot is red. It takes me 20 minutes there. I'm like, God, I'm not going to make it back in time for work. And then I go on. And I walk in and I'm going to buy me some chicken strips because I was really, really, really also hungry. And God, the Holy Spirit just dropped it in my spirit, Turkish delight. I'm just like, no, I don't understand. But anyways, again, I wanted to be like, okay, to whom should I buy Turkish delight? And I'm just like, no, I'm just going to leave it. I'm just going to put it aside. I'm just going to put it aside. I go and I buy my chicken strips and I come out. And as I walk past, he again says Turkish delight. And I turn and I'm like, oh, Turkish delight. Okay. Taking it, I'm crazy, but oh well. I'm just taking the Turkish delight, going there, pay for it. I'm like, it's $42. Yakumin doesn't even like Turkish delight. I'm just like, what's going on here? And now I have the Turkish delight, and I'm just like, okay, who should I give it to? And then I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this in the flesh. I'm going to wait for the Holy Spirit. And I walk, and I'm in my car, and I drive, and I'm like, okay, I missed it. Just as I like turn my head, I see this woman and my spirit, and I'm just like, no, I'm not going to give it to her. I'm not going to give it to her. And then I just drive in the parking lot like 3 times, and I park the car, and the car guard is, no, the exit is this side. The exit is, I'm like, I don't want the exit. And I see the woman, she's walking, and I have this thing like, God, she needs to supernaturally come across my way. I'm not going after her. And then I'm like, I can't do this. I know. I take the Turkish delight, and I go to her. And I wait in line at the aptiek. What is aptiek? A nursery? Pharmacy. Oops. A pharmacy. And everyone asks me, can I help you, sir? Can I help you, sir? And I'm just like, no, I'm waiting for that lady. She's drawing blood. It's a lady that draws blood. Her name is Anne. Beautiful lady. She's just like, I'm just standing there and everyone's going in front of me and I'm just like, it's 1:45, I need to be at work, it took me 20 minutes to get here, there's 15 minutes left, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But I have to trust God, and this is where that faith thing comes in. And I come in and I'm like, oh, but I'm shivering, and I'm just like, I believe God wants to give you this Turkish delight just to celebrate you. And she's like, she doesn't register, and I'm just like, God wants to bless you in this. I don't know why. And she's like, this is my favorite. And I'm like, yes, I know, because God said it's your favorite. And I just claim it. I just claim it. And she starts getting tears in her eyes. And she says, you know what? One of my best friends, Luigi, committed suicide. And yesterday, my uncle died. I know why he's doing this. And I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. And we prayed. And we just had this awesome ministering to her, and I was just like, I don't even care if I'm late at work. I just saw someone's life change, and it was radically awesome. And I get into my car, every light green, 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 green. I am 5:21, 5:22. I'm at work, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, how am I supposed to work now? And I'm just like, I'm going to be diligent. And then another colleague come to me, he says, we're having a worship on Wednesday, tonight, at VRS. I gave it a bit wrongly through to Paul. I said, like, Agape is having a worship, let's go. It sounds like, okay, let's go visit another church. But anyways, I went there, we had an awesome worship service that they held, and afterwards, one of my teachers came to me, and previous teachers, Vakia Hoog. And he came to me, and he doesn't understand what's going on. Why is Johnny here? Because he remembers Johnny from school. That was impossible. And I share my testimony with him, and he can't believe it. And he tells me, Johnny, you were one of those children that I prayed should go out of school. I hated your family. I hated you. I didn't want you in this school. And I'm just standing there, and I'm just like, you know what? I love you. I just don't care. And he's like, but I'm sorry. And we have this God moment. And I'm just like, what? Get in my car. I just don't understand what happened now. Drive back. And I'm just like, okay, God, this is just way too much for me. I don't want to grasp. Then I want to be like, okay, what revelation did I get? What can I give to people? And it's just like, I did nothing. I just said, God, use me. That's all. God, use me. And he has put me in very bad situations. But I'm just like, I'm trusting him now. Because I know I can't do this in my own. I know I've tried so many times, but I fail. And then on Thursday, I wanted to take back what I gave God about Carl. That's what we do sometimes. We'll say like, God, you can have it. And then 2 days after that, we're like, God, give it back. Give it back. I'm going to do this again. Because when it gets to 99, that 99 point, you want it back because you just can't trust God for this last part to come through. And I felt in my spirit we had to have a worship session at Saskia's house. And I'm just like, I'm not going to listen to my flesh. I'm going to listen to my spirit. And we have this amazing worship session that night. Afterwards, I drive back. Vicky calls me. He's like, Johnny, I had a God moment yesterday. What did you experience? I'm like, I didn't experience that much. What do I tell him now? Like, what do I tell him? I'm just like, it's awesome. And he's like, it changed my life forever. And I was just like, what? I didn't even feel something amazing happen in the spirit, but that changed his life. And these things just happen. And then Friday, the most ridiculous thing happens ever. I asked God to show me Carl, remember, for the end of the week. I actually asked him on the Thursday. I gave over the Wednesday or the Thursday, it doesn't matter. But then I asked him to show me the next day. This is Friday. My boss is a partner of PwC. And usually we have someone that takes, what do you call a Buddha in English? A messenger, and he goes and fetches the stuff, and he sends the stuff. And he wasn't there for 2 days. So on Wednesday, this is now Wednesday, she goes to everyone else except me to ask to pick up something. But she looks at me, and then she goes to someone else, and then she asks. And they don't know where it is. And she goes to the next person. They don't know where it is. She doesn't come to me, not once, until she finds someone which she can send. On Friday, the messenger isn't there again, and she walks directly up to me and says to me, Johnny, please go fetch me this bank confirmation. We don't ever do it. Now, I know that Carl can't be shown to me because I'm sitting in the office. So God really needs to do something supernatural. I have to trust him for this. And I go to the bank where I need to get the confirmation. And I'm walking there. And when I look up, Carl sits there. And I'm just like, no way. This is ridiculous. This is awesome. And I just feel this presence of God, and I'm just like, no way. I go sit with him, and I could talk to him. And previously that week, I felt I needed to give someone a blanket, and I gave it to Heartbeat, and it was actually for him. He tells me, Johnny, do you have a blanket for me? I'm cold at night. And I'm just like, God, I'm missing it so much, but thank you for your grace. And then I go buy him something to eat. But I'm just like, if I should buy him something to eat, there will be a food place on my right-hand side. And then I walk in, a hungry lion is there. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to buy food now. I'm going to buy food. And I just gave it to him. And this week was mind-blowing. It was ridiculous. And it began with a single prayer. God, I desire to be used. But I promise you, he would have never used me, be able to use me for this week, if I didn't trust him to work 8 hours a day 3 weeks ago to meet that deadline. Because what would I have done? I would have said, no, Lord, I have a deadline. I can't do it now. No, Lord, afterwards, I can't go share my testimony. I can't go to the worship event. There's just too much work. And it was so amazing. When we went to Saskia for the worship, the Holy Spirit said to me, take bacon. I know it sounds silly. And I'm just like, I know why I wasn't obedient, because I was selfish. And that's what often happens, why we say no to God, because we are selfish. I'm like, this is the only bacon we have. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it to the worship event. And then we get there, and there isn't enough bacon. And I'm like, yes, Johnny is stupid. You're a selfish little person. And I'm just like, God, I'm sorry. I repent. What I want us to see in this is that we need to completely surrender to God. You can't do it by works. Not at all. It can only be done by faith, because that gives us access to the grace, and that grace empowers us to overcome. It doesn't matter if you are afraid of not making the deadline, afraid of not having children, afraid of not knowing how to raise your children. It just starts with this one prayer. God, I'm giving you everything. I'm going to fight you for it, because I'm going to want to take it back again. But I'm going to allow that spiritual rules that you apply when you have something in your hand and the decision that you make rule in my life, and not what I decide and the natural laws. And God, I have a desire to be used by you, but I am not going to do it in my own flesh. And I believe God has been opening doors to VIS. I'm going to speak it also now. I believe he's opening doors to VIS for the youth because of Vicky, as well as Gymnasium, because of Jaco that lives under Jacomin, and he just has this amazing heart for children. So I want us quickly to stand. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Thank you, God, that you do a new work in us, that we would live by faith. That we would live by faith every single day. Not to adhere to laws, rules, regulations, and be in the flesh, but, Lord, to be obedient to your call inside of us. Even if it means that we need to now go into those dark areas that we've been avoiding. That we know that you've taken us so many times to show us that we can trust you. God, I know it doesn't matter if we run from our jobs. It doesn't matter if we run from our studies. It doesn't matter if we run from where you call us to. You will not leave us, and you will put us through that exact same situation, so that we can learn how to trust you, because you want to show us your trust. Father God, I pray against circumstances and a demonic stronghold over circumstances, that we cannot see you in those circumstances. I just quickly want people to raise their hands that cannot see beyond those circumstances. Just quickly. I just want to pray over you. Just quickly. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Father God, for these people that raised their hands, I pray for the boldness, and I pray, and I'll not pray for the boldness, Lord God. I pray just that they would see your faithfulness in that specific situation, and that they would leave it and give it over to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that this is not a thing we can attain by works. This is not a thing that we can do in our flesh. But God, I pray that you birth inside of us a desire and a hunger to go out and see your kingdom come. Lord, birth is through the Spirit, because in our flesh we cannot do it. We don't want to do good things, we want to do God things, Lord. God, and help us. God, help us. Help us in this. We can't do this alone. We need you. Show us what it means to trust in, rely on, adhere to, and believe in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for opening our hearts towards you. And Holy Spirit, thank you for ushering us in to a revelation of faith, to live by faith. If there's anyone here this morning with every eye closed, I want everyone's eyes to be closed. Because God doesn't put to shame. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you have never given your heart to God. If you are here and you know the Holy Spirit tells you, I need to make this commitment to the living Christ. You have a religious relationship. You're not living a living relationship. You have religion, but you don't have a living relationship. If that's you, and if God is speaking to you, it starts with saying, God, I know. I'm not with a right standing with you. I know I haven't given my heart to you. If that's you this morning, I pray that you just quickly raise your hand. Just say, Lord, this is me. I have not yet come to you. I have not given my heart to you. If there's anyone here this morning, or you have backslidden, you have stepped back from that decision that you've made, and you know you no longer have that living relationship. If that's you and you want to make a recommitment to God, please raise your hand and say, Lord, this is me. God, I know I'm a sinner and I can't do it without you. I know it's only by the cross, your grace, that I can have new life, that I'm not condemned to hell, but that I have a place and a position in heaven, and that I can have relationship now. If that is you and you know you have backslidden, you have taken those steps back, I want you to raise your hand. This is going to be a bold step, but it's going to be an amazing step. Thank you for that hand.